Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
Good morning, church. Wasn't that amazing? Yes, that was awesome. If that didn't wake you up, I don't know what will. I want to share with you, Pastor Nathan wanted me to share with you this morning that he does not take lightly being away on a Sunday morning, but he had an opportunity to be on a retreat this weekend to help just start planning for the rest of 2020 and for 2021, and him and Jessica just felt like this was necessary for the health of our church and to flourish going into the next year. So we are so thankful he had this opportunity, and I'm happy to be here with you this morning. So as some of you know, the message sermon today is called A Thrill of Hope. And just like the song says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. We're going to talk today a little bit about rejoicing even when we're weary, because we are thrilled with hope. And three of the greatest virtues that there are faith, hope, and love. And we hear a whole lot about faith. We hear a whole lot about love. But today, hope. I hear you. I hear you or I hear me. We're going to talk about hope today because I think it is so important. And just being reminded that our hope is not found in the church. Our hope is not found in gatherings. Our hope is not found in books, events, relationships. These are all tools. They're all really good tools. But the power of hope is found in Jesus Christ. The rest are stepping stones, building blocks. They help us to grow closer to our Savior. He came into this world to serve and to save. And this month, as we're walking through the promises of Christmas, I just can't help but think of Jesus and to be thrilled by the hope that he brought into this world as we celebrate his beautiful, beautiful birth this month. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. We want to just begin our time together today by saying we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to just come. Be with us in a tangible way that we feel you and that your presence is made known in this house today, God. We love you so much, Jesus. Amen. So the thrill of real hope is found, one of the ways is found in Jesus' capabilities. Hope is less of self-reliance and more reliance on him. Hope is something we all need, yet so many of us don't have. When we feel hopeful, we feel like we can do absolutely anything. But when we feel hopeless, we can feel completely doomed. I know for me that when I'm feeling spiritually attacked or things don't go as I wish that they would, I can feel hopeless in the natural, in my situation and in my circumstances, but I have this hope that when I get into the secret place and when I press into the Holy Spirit, I'm reminded of who he is and what only he can do. Where I find my hope is bigger than the hope I found in the natural. Not the kind of hope like, oh, I hope it stops raining today. Not the kind of hope like, I hope my kids grow up to be great kids and active members of society. No. You see, there's been times in my life where I've felt so hopeless. And I have a choice to make to believe in him and the hope that I know that he offers in the supernatural. Luke 18:1 says, always pray and never lose hope. When bad things happen, we have a choice and we're either going to panic or we're going to pray. We're going to worship or we're going to worry. Hope says, yeah, it's bad, but I still believe. I still believe. Not just the hope, like, you know, I hope this green light, this light turns green because I'm in a hurry. I hope this paint that we picked out matches the drapes. Not that kind of a hope. When people are in storms, and I can say this for myself, we can tend to look everywhere else but Jesus. We could look to a bottle. We could look to medicine. We could pick up a phone. We can call a friend because we want that instant gratification. But when the going gets tough, we need to just ask God to throw chaos and confusion into the enemy's plans. Real hope is based in God's word and not in my wishes. God knows what he's doing, and he knows exactly when he's doing it. When we hope in Jesus, we get this brand new energy to overcome anything. God exists. We matter to him. And he has the power to help us in and through anything. This is where our hope comes from. God wants to fill our lives with his love, with his joy, with his presence. The problem is we put our faith in other things. We put our faith in politics. We put our faith in spending. Oh, if I just had this, then I'll be happy. We put our faith in our anxious thoughts, in our depression, in our fears, in our accomplishments, in our relationships. We as believers, we name our hope and where it comes from. It's not a place, it is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? This is where we get the power to overcome anything. Hope is found in a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus desires a hands-on, day-to-day, moment-to-moment relationship with us. He can do for us what we've never been able to do for ourselves. And if you want to have a full-on life experience, not just the abstinence of bad things in your life, because we will never be completely void of that, not just the removal of a certain person in your life, because there will always be another, but a full-on new life experience where we are set free in him no matter what our circumstances look like, because we know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There were so many times that I wanted situations to change in my life, and I couldn't do it on my own. My powerlessness was replaced with his power. My hope was filled with hope in him. And maybe you've been going to church for a while. Or maybe you're new and you're like, I want that kind of hope. You can't just listen to the message today or the messages past or future from Pastor Nathan or anyone else and be like, okay, cool, that sounds good. I know that oftentimes we have trust issues. Trust is built in a relationship. In Revelations, he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He doesn't say I come in and I barge down that door and I kick it down and I make you have a relationship. No, he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Just knock. We just have to respond. Can't spend time with God and not be changed. Wherever you're at on your spiritual journey this morning, I want you to ask yourself whether you accepted Christ into your heart years ago or yesterday or never. Has that relationship actually started yet? And if it has, where am I at in my journey that does it need to maybe go a little bit deeper. He's calling you right now into a relationship with him. His power is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is enough. He says, turn to me, let my power work in your weakness. And hope brings change. Hope brings change. You can show up here every week and come to church. Maybe you're dragged in here by a spouse or a parent or a friend. But you can show up all the time. Unless you put these things into actions, nothing will change. Sometimes we're afraid to hope. Sometimes we're afraid to hope because I believe that we think maybe it's too good to be true. Even if what we're living in right now is so painful. We resist change because of fear of the unknown, or in our own despair, we think maybe we don't deserve any better. Hope gives us a place to ask, if I'm not this hopeless person, then who am I? Who am I? Hope opens the door where despair has closed it. Hope discovers what can be done instead of grumbling about what can't be done. Throughout your life, you're going to continue to encounter hurts and trials that you can't change. But with God's help, we can be open to allow those circumstances and situations to change us, to make us better or to make us bitter. Hope is power. We can't do much in our own strength. But this is where we turn to his power, and that's the power that overcame the grave. God's power can change us. It can change our situation. You might feel like, oh, I've got this. I'm doing really well in my own power. And then when I feel a little crummy, I want to blame everybody else, and you feel like nothing's going your way. And he says, that's because you're doing it on your own again. It's my power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it lives in you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, there's a saying that we hear so often, and it misrepresents the Bible so much, and that's, God won't give you more than you can handle. It's not even in the Bible. I know one thing. Me, I can handle nothing. I can handle nothing. You see, hope draws its power from a deep trust in God. The psalmist says in chapter 25:5, I have no hope, no hope, except in you. He says, I've got all this power. And I want to show you more. Hope and faith. Hope and faith go together so well. You might say today, I'm so broken. I'm so broken by the affairs of the world, by my financial situation, by the loss of life. I'm broken that life doesn't look how I expected it to look by now. I've tried so many times and nothing's working. You ever hear a kid get frustrated and they're like, oh, it's never going to work. And the parents say, well, not with that attitude. I know my kids have heard that. Be expectant for what God can and will do. My life has personally changed because of this hope, and it is available to you as well. My life changed even after I was a believer. Because of this hope. You see, God begins the work, and he will keep working, and he will keep working, and he will keep working until he comes back. He will still be working on us because he is not done with us yet. Eternal life doesn't start the day that we die. Eternal life starts the day we put our faith in God. Faith is tiny as a mustard seed, tiny. Matthew 17:20 says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Have you ever told a mountain, like stood in front of a mountain, and told it to move to see if it would move? Anybody ever tried that? I have. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't move. And then I'm so quickly reminded of all the mountains that he has moved in my life. I have this bracelet. And in the center of this bracelet, there's a little tiny mustard seed. It's tiny. It's right there in the center, and you probably can't even see it. It's there. Tiny. He said, that's all we need. That's all we need is that little tiny, tiny bit of faith. And the problem is, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, it's not that we don't believe this little tiny bit. It's that we have a problem with the hope that it can give us, with the author and the creator of the seed and believing who he is and what he can do. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, you can't have faith without hope. There's nothing to hope for if there's nothing to believe in. Real hope is certain. Real hope is certain. And some of us can be confused, and we have this expectancy of what hope looks like. Expectant hope, it has some basis of a reality in it. Like, I'm going to plant some seeds in my garden, and I'm going to hope that they sprout, right? And there's a possibility that could happen. Or a pregnant woman who for a legitimate reason is expecting. So she's experiencing an expecting hope, but sadly, even expectant hope, and I've experienced this for myself, doesn't always come true. Even though we're expecting, it isn't guaranteed. Hebrews 6:19 says, the certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. You might be one of those people that asks, what if I don't go to heaven? Don't let that thought ever enter your mind again. That's hope. It doesn't come in to your mind. This is real hope to build our life on, a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. You see, certain hope is a biblical hope. It's knowing for certain that you're going to have what you hope for. We know someone greater than our circumstances. We know someone greater than our financial situation, than our relational situations, our physical and mental health, greater than our government, and that's God. There is a list that was compiled by a pastor out in California, Rick Warren, that I'm sure many of you have heard of, and he says, when a culture forgets God, wealth is idolized. Truth is minimalized. Life is trivialized. Abortion legalized, television vulgarized, advertising essentialized, everything sexualized and commercialized. Our conscience is desensitized, education secularized, free markets monopolized, politics polarized, sports are scandalized, morals and ethics are liberalized. In entertainment, crime is sensationalized, drugs are legitimized, sin is glamorized, courts are paralyzed, the breakup of the family is rationalized, manners are uncivilized, Christians are demonized, and God is marginalized. He says, it's no wonder we have no hope. They've forgotten God. and ask the band to come back up. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It's firm. It's secure. Hope is an anchor for the soul. My husband and I were sailing some years back from Marina Del Rey, California to Catalina Island. And we got caught in this storm that was totally unexpected, and it just took our boat way off course. So much so that we couldn't be found on the radar, and when we called for help because our engine died, the Coast Guard couldn't find us. There was a barge way off into the distance, and they could spot us just a little bit, and they were relaying to the Coast Guard where we were so that they could get to us. And when they got to us, they towed us into the nearest dock. And when we got to the dock, there were no slips available. And so the Coast Guard said, I'm going to anchor you right here. You're going to be firm. You're going to be secure. Don't worry. I'm going to anchor you here. There's a woman in the lighthouse. She's going to be keeping an eye on you guys. And if a slip opens up at some point, we'll get you in. And so we were cold. We were wet. Our feet were frostbitten. We had been pulling down these sails. We were exhausted mentally and physically. And we thought, okay, we're good. We're going to be able to dry off and get some sleep. We fell asleep, and before you know it, we heard. And we startled, woke up. We kept hearing this banging on the window, and there was a woman outside the boat with a hand and a foot on the rocks and a hand and a foot on the boat, and she said, your anchor wasn't secured. Your boat's about to go into the rocks. Friends, Jesus. Hope in Jesus is firm. It's secure. And there's a thrill in my soul in knowing that Jesus does not drift. He doesn't drift when the waters get rough in our life. He protected our life and our boat that day. Coast Guard told us just ahead there was a 3-mile water spout. We would have been in pieces. Jesus was our anchor. If you want to live a life, a full, an abundant life, life to the fullest, you're going to go through storms. You're going to go through financial hardships, moral, ethics, relational, physical waves in your life. God said over 7,000 promises in his word. Over 7,000 are in here. Our hope in these promises will give us that certain hope. God is not a man that he should lie, and he is not a son of man that he would change his mind. He has all of eternity to fulfill these promises, not just here in the natural. Abraham got a promise from God, and he waited patiently, 99 years. And God fulfilled the promise to him. Today, I want to encourage you to be reminded of Hebrews 6:19, because we have that same hope. We have this hope. I want to encourage you to just reach out and to hold Christ's hand and face the present with confidence and the future with realistic expectations. Simply put, my life without Christ is a hopeless end. With him, it's an endless hope. An endless hope. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer, constant. Isaiah 43, 2 through 3 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, he says, you won't be burned. You won't be burned. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior. He's that good. He is by nature a good God. And I hope that we never lose sight of his presence here. Hope. Not as in wishful thinking, but as in confidence and without doubt. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I want to pray with you today. And if you're in here and you say, I want that hope. I want that hope. And maybe you're in here today and you said, I've already accepted that hope. I've already asked him into my life. But you want to grow deeper. I just want to pray with you today. And I want to give you that chance to have this hope. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord. For those who are watching online and those who are present in this space, God, we come before you. We ask that we confess our sins and ask that you forgive us of our sins. We invite you into our lives to be our personal Savior forever. And if we're here today and we know that the relationship has lacked, God, we ask you to give us more hope. It's okay to ask for it. We ask you for more hope. We ask you to help us to go into a deeper relationship with you. It's never deep enough until we meet you. Thank you, God, for sending your son, for this hope that we have. We love you so much, Jesus. Amen. Romans 15, 5 through 6 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify God, our Father, and our God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a great week.